The Holy Gospel of our Savior, Jesus Christ, according to John. There was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord. Holy Spirit, touch my lips, open our hearts, and transform our lives. Amen. Please be seated. I don't know about you, but I've never had cleaner hands than this past week. You know, washing hands. Here we are. I mean, Lenten, talk about Lent without music. Sounds a bit different, right? But I think it invites us to think about this Lenten journey. Some of you came to the imposition of ashes on Ash Wednesday. It's a beautiful service we had. And remember the words we used when we were putting the ashes? Someone remember what they were? Or if you remember having gone to one before. What are the words we say? Well, that's when you're burying someone. But yeah, it's good. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Those are the words, yeah. But the ash to ashes and dust to dust, that's the one we use in burials, in funerals. And thank you for bringing it up, because it touches, interesting enough, that is what we were saying. And as I was imposing ashes on people coming forward, it's a bit shocking, the ceremony, because what I'm really saying is, you're going to die. You're going to die. You're going to die. It's like, wow, what a task to be commended to remind people that we are dying. That is the beginning of our journey. It is not a macabre desire. Meditating on death can be manipulated, it can be misused, and churches misused it a lot. But I think there's a very human thing to remind ourselves about death. And I think it is an ancient tradition of the churches to use the ashes to remind ourselves of death as we begin the Lenten journey, because it put things in perspective. At 8 o'clock, someone said, yeah, when I face my death, I can kind of evaluate what is important in my life. When I truly look at death, I can really say, what's important? What do I want to spend my life in? And things kind of settle in different priorities. Someone at Abe was telling me, and also it gives me more desire to live today as best as I can. It makes me appreciate more. So be careful what you wish for, right? So 2 weeks after I'm telling all of you, remember that you're dust and to dust you shall return. Remember that you're dying. We are facing this outbreak of a new virus, an illness, COVID-19, affecting so far 102 confirmed cases in Washington state. And I suspect there might be many more than that. We in Washington have become the epicenter of this COVID, and it's rapidly spreading. The Department of Health said the risk of exposure is increasing for people who live in our state. So it's interesting that we face the Lenten journey. We were recalled about our death, and suddenly we have a real practice run. What does this mean? I don't know about you, but I know there's a lot of fear and anxiety. There's a lot of uncertainty. There are profound questions. What is going on? I know that we all know that it is not a death sentence. Many more people survive it than those who die of it. But nevertheless, just like when I get on an airplane, I don't know about you, I get on an airplane and I wonder, is this thing going to fall? I know in my head that it is more dangerous to get in a car than an airplane, that's more probable I'll die in a car accident than an airplane accident. But nevertheless, I know it's up here, but it doesn't feel the same. I always get on the car, in the airplane, put on that seatbelt, and I wonder, I always do special prayers after, right? I don't know about you, but at least me, I tend to do that. And I know it's simply because it's unknown, I think. It is not something we're used to. And I think all the anxiety is because it's something new. And we don't know much about it. And it is, whoever catches, it is more, the disease is stronger than other common seasonal flus. Yes. So we have a mix of emotions around all of this. Probably you're more anxious after reading a letter sent by Berto in your email, informing about changes in the worship and in liturgy, canceling events. I hope I've not added more to your anxieties and your worries. Nevertheless, I usually feel more calm when something is frightening me, something is bothering me. I tend to go to the catastrophic thinking. Q always sets me down and says, okay, Berto, let's play that out. Okay, what would be the worst thing that would happen? Tell me. And he tells me. That's the convenience of being married to a psychotherapist. You get psychoanalyzed a lot. So he says, sit down. Berto, what's going to happen? What's the worst that can happen? And usually I say, well, I die. And once I say this, what's the big deal? And things kind of puts in perspective, like, sometimes our worries are worse than even the most horrible conclusion that we can think of. So today, as we face this, I think it's a good exercise in our Lenten pilgrimage. What? What if? And then we have our faith to hold on to. Yes, I think we need to pay attention and be attentive to what health ministries are saying, the Department of Health, what our county is saying, the EMTs. Pay attention to all these warnings that you all hear. Pay attention to what is going on. But then we, as people of faith, we wonder, and what else? What does my faith have to inject in all this anxiety and worry and concern? So today I turn to Scripture, and Marianne, who's not with us, Marianne wanted to let you all know that she's okay. She and Carl are okay, but they've taken their mom with them. Cecilia's with them in the house, and they want to avoid, as you know, Cecilia's 93, and she gave me permission to share all this with you. She doesn't want to take care of her, so that is why she's not here. But we're working on having music for next week. So, where does our faith come into all this? I was struck, and Marianne was telling me, look at the psalm for this Sunday. From where is my help to come? And I was struck by that. Where do I put my help? Yes, investigate. Let's have good information. There's a lot of misinformation. Am I going to put my trust in the little video that my aunt sent me from who knows what, giving a miracle cure to anything? Probably not. But what we can do is be as proactive and safe as we can. But then, after we do all that we can do, the only thing we have is, I'm in your hands, God. I've cleaned my hands, I've washed my hands, I've done everything I can. But if there's a moment when I have to say, there's nothing more I can do. I was saying in Spanish, we have a saying. My dad loved to tell it to me. Berto, no le busque las cinco patas al gato. No le busques las cinco patas al gato. Don't try to find the fifth leg to the cat. Huh? Gato, cat. Don't try to find the fifth leg to the cat. It only has four. And many times we try to, okay, where is the fifth leg of this cat? And there is none. So, yes, we investigate, we learn, we study, we hear, we learn the news. But there's a moment we say, that's it. I can't do anything more. I'm in God's hand. And it's beautiful that the first reading for today was God calling Moses, telling Moses, uproot yourself. Leave your land, leave your household, leave your father's house, and come to a land I will show you. I can imagine, for Abraham, that was not an easy task. Leave everything? Trust? So today, as I see it, is God is inviting Berto, what do you trust? Yeah, you wash your hands, you do everything you can, you're following all, you're reading, but then there's a moment when you say, okay, I've done all I can. I put my hands, put my life, put my heart, trusting in you. And this can't be a trust that is, remember last week, the temptations of Jesus? Remember the liar, the devil was telling Jesus, and it's a metaphor, go, jump off the temple. Remember that? We have to be careful that in our trusting God is not the trusting like that trusting. Some people say, oh no, I'm not, because I have God. I don't have to worry about anything else. I'm not going to wash my hands because I'm with God. I'm not going to go to anything because I'm with God. That is a little bit like the devil and saying, jump, don't trust God. God will hold you. And Jesus says, do not tempt God. And I think we have to be smart. Our trust is not a blind trust jumping off the cliff. Our trust is, I do as much as I can. I'm responsible with the knowledge I find, responsible in taking care of my body, eating well, exercising, be as calm in all this stressful time. I do as much as I can. And then afterwards I say, okay, God, I can't do more. I'm in your hand. We pray today in the psalm, the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. It is God who shall keep you safe. God shall watch over your going out and your coming in from this time forth forevermore. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. No need for despair, no need to panic. We prepare ourselves with the information we have And then we know that we are in God's hands no matter what. Something concerns me as all the health advice, many of it is to isolate ourselves. And we're hearing those instructions, but I'm fearful that isolating can be more complicated than not isolating in a certain circumstances. So what I would like invite us all is, if you choose to isolate, and I'm talking to the people who will be hearing this at home, please let someone know. Hopefully this isolation, as we isolate it from each other, especially people who are vulnerable, and I understand it, and it's okay that you're not here with us today. We're praying for you. You are part of our family. Back home, all of you who stayed home, we are with you. But the only thing is, don't allow that isolation to become more of a problem. If you're isolating, let someone know. Tell your neighbor. Call someone from church. Tell me or Hugh, hey, I'm not going to church. And I have a couple of people who have told me, I'm not coming to church. Please keep us in mind. And call each other. Let us be careful, caring, compassionate, in solidarity with each other. Some people are saying, are we overreacting? We will not know until it is past. Someone in church in the diocese was saying, well, look at it this way. Look at the most vulnerable person you have in your parish, in your pews. And you do whatever you can do for that person. Probably most of us are okay. But if there is one person who might be hurt, or that is the person we have to take care of, be attentive to. That is the person we hold, and we all do as much as we can. So yeah, maybe we are a little bit extra taking care, but I think for one person, that is worthwhile. Another thing that we should be careful is to isolate each other and to throw down other people. As you know, as all epidemics, the first thing that happens is let us blame someone. We did it in the Middle Ages. The plague was fault of the Jews, and we killed a lot of Jews because of that. In the 19th century here in the United States, against Italians, majority is Italians, blaming them for any new disease. In the 1980s, HIV and AIDS, we blame the Haitians, we blame the gays. Now we're blaming the Chinese or any person who thinks or looks a little bit Asian. The stranger. Let us be careful that this disease, this virus, this concern does not pit us against each other. We're in all of this together. I can get it as much as anybody else, and it's nobody's fault. We are called by Jesus today to be born from above. It's a beautiful saying. To be born again. And for me, born again, it's not a kind of a thing you do once. It's simply to live each life as it's new. Someone tell me at 8 o'clock, yeah, when I think of death, I just want to live my life new this day. As a new day, and maybe the only day I have. And I'll live it as fully and as consciously and as lovingly as I can today. And I think I like that interpretation of being born again. Yes, every day I'm born again. Every day I face life like this is my last day. And I can live it as fully and lovingly as I can. That was the suggestion Jesus gave Nicodemus. At the end, Jesus told Nicodemus, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone having faith in him might not perish, but have life for the age to come. I would like to end with a prayer that was shared by the dean of the cathedral, Thomason. Jesus Christ, you traveled through villages and towns, curing every disease and illness. At your command, the sick were made well. Come to our aid now in the midst of the global spread of the coronavirus, that we may experience your healing love. Heal those who are sick with the virus. May they regain their strength and health through quality and accessible medical care. Heal us from our fears, which prevents nations from working together and neighbors from helping each other. Heal us from our pride, which can make us claim invulnerability to a disease that knows no borders. Jesus Christ, healer of all, stay by our side in this time of uncertainty and sorrow. We be with those who've died from the virus, the 16 peoples who've died here in Washington State. May they be at rest with you in eternal peace, and with all those around the world who've died. Be with the families of those who are sick, those who have died, as they worry and grieve. Defend them from illness and despair. May they know your peace. Be with the doctors, nurses, researchers, and all medical professionals who seek to heal and help those affected and who put themselves at risk in the process. May they know your protection and peace. Be with the leaders of all nations and all public officials. Give them foresight to act with charity and true concern for the well-being of the people they are meant to serve. Give them wisdom to invest in long-term solutions that will help prepare for or prevent future outbreaks. Whether we are at home or abroad, stay with us as we endure, mourn, persist, and prepare. In place of our anxiety, give us your peace. Jesus Christ, heal us. Amen.